Tonight's podcast is brought to you by our very own Catfish's Pest Control and Rat Killing Service.
Catfish here. You might have recognized my face from this here video game podcast. These boys thought it might be mighty funny to have me as a mascot or some such. Well, Uncle Sam said being a fat alcoholic ain't enough to get disability, so Catfish got to fend for himself. Cook's Pest Control wanted to charge me $300 to kill some goddamn gopher rats, and I said, well, goddamn, that better come with a fucking reach around while you're fucking me in the goddamn asshole. I can kill a goddamn gopher rat with my 12 gauge. So you got some goddamn rats and shit? Call Catfish or Pest Control and Rat Killing Service. We use 12 gauge that Cook's is too much of a pussy to use.
Welcome back again to the Good Old Gamers Podcast. It's February 13th, the day before Lover's Day. I'm Lyle McClendon. I'm here as always with the, tonight, the cigar-smoking Brandon Gentry.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, see?
Very nice. We're the only southern-based retro gaming podcast as glorious as Billy Mitchell's hair.
Quite
proud,
so.
Proud to be it. So we're coming at you tonight. What episode are we now? 46?
Five.
45. Five away from the big 50.
Should have had a Colt 45 tonight.
We should have, if only Lando Calrissian himself had been here to serve it to us. But we're going to kick it off, as always, with a little bit of news. Bethesda has said the Doom campaign is said to take around 18 hours to play through.
That ain't bad for a shooter.
Not at all. Especially a new Doom. I know. Yeah. I'm actually pretty excited for it.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be Doom done right.
I know a lot of people didn't care for Doom 3 that much.
It was okay, but it wasn't Doom. It's a Doom-themed jump scare game.
I thought it was pretty cool, but it didn't have that rock and roll element right. Like Doom had, you know.
It was good if you played it not expecting Doom.
Yeah. I don't have a whole lot this week.
Well, I got one. This is kind of news. I'm selling Girl Scout cookies. Anyone want a box of Girl Scout cookies? $4 a box.
They're only four?
$4 a box, which there's not that many.
Man, you got them tag-alongs?
I do. I got all the tag-alongs. I've been selling quite a few at Vault. Next time y'all go to Vault Games.
I want some. There are a couple boxes.
Hell yeah. I'll save some for you. Everyone at Vault's getting fatter because of me, because every time I go in there, I sell some cookies.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Hell no.
Slanging them cookies.
My little girl's joined Scout. She's a Daisy. It's her first year, and she's pumped. She's aiming to sell about 400 boxes. So
that'd be awesome. Yeah. If we only had recreational marijuana stores here.
Yes.
Set up shop right out
front. We got the next best thing, though. Nerd shops with fat nerds. Because fat nerds like cookies.
True that.
And, you know, I'm one of them. I like cookies, and I'm a fat nerd. So, if y'all want some Girl Scout cookies, if you're local, hit us up on Facebook. I'll bring them to you. If you're not local still and you want some,
if you buy in bulk, we'll deliver.
Well, I can set up online sales somehow. I haven't done it yet, but I can get the info from the troop leader.
You're the only high-tech motherfucking Girl Scout cookie jockey.
Yeah.
I just want to point out something. The listener can't really see it right now, but this is kind of the fancy edition, the prestigious edition, if you will, good old gamers. Brandon's smoking a cigar, and I'm drinking some wine.
Yeah.
Tonight.
The finest of boxed wines.
It is a boxed wine. Oh, Franzia. She'll keep you warm in the middle of the night.
Me and my middle shelf Dutch Master cigar. The finest Walmart has to offer.
The finest tobacco rolled by the finest Dutchman. So they're making a live-action / CGI Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
God, I don't. Why?
Does nobody remember the fucking Mario movie?
That didn't end up too well.
No, Big Bertha was a big black lady that looked like Aretha Franklin in a fucking red leather dress, like, instead of a big red fish. Oh, the irony.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Maybe, Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Go bankrupt. I got a sound effect for that somewhere. There it is. Yeah.
See? What else you got, Brando?
Street Fighter V is launching with no features at all.
Go figure, because they can release Street Fighter V Turbo Alpha Deluxe Edition 3 months down the road.
They're like the only company that can get away with that too these days, because everyone else is like, at the very most, they'll do it as DLC, but fucking Capcom, $60, new one. I'm like, you know, updates are a thing, right? You don't have to do this.
You don't have to do a whole new game.
But it's going to be on PC and PS4, February 16th, so by the time this podcast hits, it's out. It's not going to have a store, not going to have challenge mode.
This comes out this coming Tuesday from now on then.
No store, no challenge mode, no proper story mode. It's just going to have like survival versus and a couple other basic modes. There's going to be 16 characters, and they're slowly going to release them, of course, as DLC. This game's going to be DLC the fuck out. It kind of sucks to see such a venerable franchise fall to the whims of DLC.
Yeah, it's kind of... that by doing that, they'll be able to milk Street Fighter V, though, for a while.
Man, I don't even like that Smash Brothers did it, and they were kind of light as far as, like, what is there, like, 6 characters you can get?
Yeah, I think.
There's going to be a lot more than that for Street Fighter 4. Or 5, rather.
That's kind of how they done Mortal Kombat, you know, they just released, well, it might not be out yet, but Mortal Kombat XL.
Yeah.
It's coming out, and it's just Mortal Kombat with all the DLC characters, which I wouldn't mind having. I'm going to buy the new characters. I want Leatherface and the Alien really bad.
I really want Bayonetta on Smash Brothers, but I'm just going to wait a while. Because I just looking at the prices, I'm going to buy just all the DLC characters at once, and right now I can't really justify spending $35 on a game. Moving and shit like that.
The struggle is real being an adult.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got before we talk about our big one?
There's a new Pokemon. It's that you can't data mine on the current generation game. So it's gonna be on Gen 7, the next generation. It's Magiana is the name of it.
I did see something about
it's like
that.
This robot Pokemon. It's like it's a man made Pokemon because you know how well that ended with Mewtwo.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for creating me. Now I'm going to make all the world's Pokemon turn on each other and destroy themselves. See? I only wish Mewtwo not much, like that.
Yeah. There's not much more I can say about it. You can look at pictures of it. It looks like your typical Pokemon fairy other than being man made. I don't know, Pokemon's kind of dead to me at this point. I mean, I like the games, but there's so many fucking Pokemon now, and they get dumber and dumber and dumber.
Toaster Pokemon!
And you got shit like the fucking Pikachu Detective or whatever. It's...
Can you still imagine if that gets end up gets voiced by Danny DeVito?
That's the shit you see when a franchise is on the edge of petering out. Like, you know, when Pac-Man got big, there's like Dr. Pac-Man and Pac-Man Wizard and all this kind of horse shit, and then Pac-Man died. Ooh, that looked painful.
I'm pretty sure they just heard that, too. That loud pop.
Yeah.
Was my fucking elbow.
Was it funny?
No, I was pouring from the box of wine. And just stained the shit out of my carpet and just broke my elbow.
I know that fucking Yo-Kai watch is getting real big. I guess people were kind of starting to turn a little away from Pokemon and go to that. That shit looks dumb as hell to me, too.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, it's another not Pokemon, so...
Digimon.
Yeah, it looks dumber than Digimon. But yeah, there's a new Pokemon.
You want to get on to the big one?
Yeah, let's get on to the big one.
The Toy Fair is going on right now.
Yeah, New York Toy Fair. As we record, it's been going on. And the Coleco Chameleon / Retro of EGS has a working demo there.
It has made its appearance.
And already the trolls are starting their shit.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. We've already been badgered and compared to other podcasts.
Yep.
Or had other podcasts as a source of feudish words, I guess.
Well, one of the big things I've been saying, reading on their own, the comments on their own posts and shit, is because they've got SNES and Super Famicom games on demo, and they said, you know, this system can emulate other systems.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of the selling points. And I'm guessing they probably only got the SNES Super Famicom part worked out in the FPGA programming, and so that's why they're demoing it. Seems reasonable enough to me. We got a lot of these trolls who are rabid fanboys of said podcast that we won't mention.
Yeah.
Are saying that they just stuffed SNES guts into the Atari Jaguar shell and are just conning everybody. I'm like, what the fuck do they have to gain from that?
Yeah, I mean, it would be nothing but it costs money to set up and show that shit off.
Yes, it does.
They would be losing money to just be jerking everybody's chains.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard a lot of people have a negative backlash that it's the Coleco Chameleon now and not the Retro VGS, but I'm kind of like, that's like the saving grace, I think.
That's a smart business move.
Yeah.
They had to separate themselves from the failure of the Indiegogo. And, I mean, it's a brilliant business move because those of us in the know it's the Retro VGS, but the vast majority of people don't. That's why I see all these clickbaity titles that ran around the internet when they changed it. You know, Coleco is coming back with a new system. Like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
They bought the name, but that's not Coleco.
One thing that just really burns my ass up about the whole thing is the people that are pretty much like, it's a dishonest. And because, you know, we interviewed Mike Kennedy, and I honestly don't think that guy is just out to fuck somebody.
He's not. I mean,
and the podcasts we got compared to, I've listened to those podcasts.
They're very biased.
They're very biased. And, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. There's just, they're those kind of people that just, I know more about this hobby than you do. My shit doesn't stink.
Right.
Suck it. You know? And it just burns my ass up because there's always got to be a fucking hater.
Yeah. Mike seems like a really honest and genuine dude when it comes to this. He's really, really passionate about retro gaming. You want to talk about someone who's done a lot for retro gaming? Look at Retro Magazine. Look at Game Gavel. He's done a lot. He's not just some hobo off the street trying to make a buck. And, you know, we've talked to Mark, I can't remember his last name now. Other guy at Retro Magazine, you know, anyone I've talked to that's had anything to do with him, like him. You know, there's not a bunch of bad shit that he's not left a trail of burnt bridges, basically.
Yeah.
But someone who does that, a type of thing like a giant Kickstarter scam, that's what they would do. There's no indicators that he's trying to rip anyone off. Yeah, there's some mismanagement in the beginning. They jumped the gun a little too quick because they were excited. Understandable. It's a huge fucking undertaking, too. Who else has done this?
Nobody. They're starting to fucking, they're building a console from the ground up.
And not only that, their team is not all centrally located. And, you know, there's going to be miscommunication. Every console that's ever been built is done with an in-house team. You got people working around the clock, you know, in the same fucking room and shit.
This isn't fucking Sony. This isn't Microsoft.
Yeah, these are some guys.
This isn't Nintendo.
These are some guys who like retro gaming trying to, hey, Rasco.
My dog has decided to make his nightly appearance.
Do we need to call Catfish's pest control and rat killing services?
He left on that one. You know, they don't have a team of fucking 20,000 people working and developing this shit.
No.
It's a very small team, and like you said, they're not centralized with each other. They're spread out.
Yeah.
You got multiple facets to it.
Working,
you know,
on a shoestring budget, because you know how much money they've made off of this? Nothing. You know, it's all...
This is all out-of-pocket expenses
yes.
at this point.
Yep. It is 100% out-of-pocket. Well, you know, he said he made some, or he paid for his molds off selling Atari Jaguar collectors' custom colored shells.
Yeah.
Still, you know, it's not like he's made a fucking killing. But yeah, I mean, the retro I keep wanting to call it retro VGS. The Chameleon, it's going to have to hit a low price point to succeed.
Oh yeah, it ain't going to go nowhere at $250.
No. Especially,
it's going to have to be about 100.
Like I mentioned before, it's no one's going to pay $250, $300 for a console that'll play $60 version of Steam games that they can play on Granny Z machine. It's going to have exclusives if it wants to branch out beyond collectors. And I think they know that now, and they're working on it. You know, time will tell. Maybe it might flop, it very well could, but all these people bashing it for no fucking reason.
If you don't like it, then vote for it with your butt. Don't fucking buy it.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. It might turn out to not be good at all. I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. It might turn out shitty. I think Mike and his team are...
They got a clear idea now.
Yeah. The
Indiegogo campaign had to teach them some shit, you know?
Which, you know, we've tried to land another interview, and they said no interviews till after, after the prototype at this toy fair, so we might get one in the future. But yeah, I think if anyone can pull it off, it's them. I hope they do. I hope something good comes out of this. And if not, you know, what have we lost? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like any of us have stake in the company or anything. No.
So,
that is not something you can just fucking throw away at a Kickstarter for.
No. So, yeah, I guess that's about that. Hopefully good shit comes out
we'll
of this.
See.
I want to see.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah. To have someone else. They're not going to be competitors with the big three, but they're going to be out there, hopefully.
That's all that matters.
Another option, another avenue that's catered to retro gamers. Because none of the consoles out are really catered to retro gamers.
No, not at all. They got their games on there that emulate retro shit, but I mean...
Yeah.
That's not the same as breaking out your old console and dusting it off and all that bullshit.
Yep. So, I guess that's that on this topic.
That's that on the news.
That's that on the news.
We don't have a game of the week because David never called us.
Yep.
Shame on you, David.
But I know Vault's ramping up their Amazon game. They haven't quite finished the storefront yet, but as soon as they do and we get y'all a URL, we're going to plug the shit out of it. So those of y'all who aren't relevant to North Alabama,
you'll be able to buy shit, finally.
Yeah, get on Amazon and buy some stuff from them. So that'll be cool. And if you are relevant, even though we don't have a game of the week, go down to Vault.
Buy some shit.
Hey, they always got some good shit. And
they do.
I hardly ever walk out of there without buying a little something. And
I've made some purchases in the past few days.
I got a pretty wide selection, all the way from Atari 2600, current generation stuff.
They got some of the offshoot stuff, too. They got like some... I think they still got a couple Retrons in stock. Some stuff like that. Retron 5s.
And I've talked to quite a few people who have some old disc games that are scratched up, beat up. They can fix them for you. I brought one down there that was fucking wrecked by my kids, and it plays like brand new now. My kids have loved playing it. It's Mario Galaxy 2, and they've been playing the shit out of that because they fixed it for us. So they can fix your discs. Anything like that. David's pretty handy with fixing a console. You got a console giving you a red light or something, take it down there. They're reasonable on their prices, too.
Yep. Check them out. Good as always.
So, you want to do your segment?
I do. I'm sorry. I about coughed, and I was trying to hold it in and not cough directly into the microphone. I'm going to hit y'all up with another What's in Your Hands tonight.
What is in my hands?
Something stinky.
It is. This is garbage. Stinks a little bit.
It's a Dutch master. Tonight, I'm going to talk about, just since, you know, Super Bowl was last weekend, I think. I didn't watch it, but anywho.
I don't even know who played. I feel like a loser.
Denver Broncos and Panthers. Cam Newton's Panthers.
Who's Cam Newton?
The hotshot quarterback from Auburn.
Oh, okay.
That led them to victory a few years ago.
What is an Auburn? No, I at least know that much.
It's an agricultural college founded in 1819 something. I don't know. Anyways.
Auburn. I thought me some damn lot leisure down in Auburn. Roll their pushy lips back for 5 minutes to get to that shit.
It's like rolling a piece of bologna up.
It's like what's in the bottom of your bag when you order roast beef at Arby's. Like,
it's a straggler, shit, I fell off. Straggler bagler at the bottom. Anywho, since football season is over, we're on the verge of my favorite sport, baseball, is about to take off. And I wanted to plug this game just simply because it's for Neo Geo Pocket Color. Which, you know, you don't ever hear hardly jack shit about Neo Geo Pocket.
That's right.
And which sucks, and it's unfortunate because it's actually a really good handheld.
I've never had my hands on one.
Well, you need to play mine sometime.
But I need to put that in my hands.
The only game I currently have is Baseball Stars, the Pocket Sports Series. And that's what I'm wanting to put in your hands tonight.
First question about it. How does it play? Is it realistic or is it more video game?
It's arcadey video game baseball.
Yes, I already like it. That's the only kind of sports games
I like. It's like your basic bullshit, you know, batting. One button swings, press the button full way to swing all the way through. Fielding, the pitching, you know, you hit down in A, I think it's, because you only have A and B on the Neo Geo Pocket Color. But I think if you hit, like, down in A, it's fastball. If you hit right in A, it's curveball, shit like that. And fielding, super simple. You field the ball. If they're running toward first, you hold the stick right and hit the A button to throw it first. If they're running second, hold stick, you know.
And do you automatically control whoever has the ball?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Fielding's a little more hard. You got to... It's your typical baseball fielding thing, like you run two people at once. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Kind of. Unlike the Nintendo baseball games, like you'd move shortstop and center field at the same time,
yeah.
Or shortstop and right field. You move two characters at once, pretty much. It's not too difficult. There's four teams, though, I do believe. There's a American League and... Japanese League. And there's actually a two-player option, which I would know nothing about because I don't know anybody else that owns a Neo Geo Pocket Color. But there's eight teams to pick from. And it's eight teams each, I think. Like, eight teams in American, eight teams Japanese.
Are they real teams or are they like cartoon?
No, they're fictional.
Okay, cool.
Fictional teams. You can edit your own team and build with your own players and shit. You can edit your own player. It's got a very small, like, creative mode. Pretty much, though, one cool thing that this thing has in it is, like, you can compare their... each player has stats, and it's, like, real-time stats. Kind of like an RPG. Instead of having strength, dexterity, and all this shit, you have... like field, pass, run, and extra. And like field shows your defensive capabilities when you're playing on defense. Pass shows your throwing strength. Run shows your speed when you run. You know, extra is your special abilities. Shit like that. You can,
do your stats increase over time or you get experience or anything? Or are they just set in stone?
They're just set in stone.
Okay.
Because, it doesn't really have, like, a season mode on it. You know what I mean? Where you can, you know, in other games where you play your way through the season and your players' averages and stats get better.
This is more arcadey. Hey, yeah. You're playing a baseball game.
This is,
have fun.
This is straight up, like, jump in, play the game, get out.
I like that.
Kind of deal.
I think all my favorite sports games are like that.
It has an arcadey mode to it where if you're sucking pretty bad or if you get on a slot, like... run for good, it's called the Ace in the Hole. And it allows you to substitute, you know, like you can like switch hit or relieve a pitcher and bring another pitcher out with your Ace in the Hole. And they have like extra capabilities that normal players don't have.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, whereas the normal fastball you throw might be like 78, 80 miles an hour. To throw 100-mile-an-hour fastballs every fucking time.
Nice.
Or a batter, if you make contact with a batter, more than likely you've knocked the fucking thing out of the park. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of like an OP character that you can use to kind of boost yourself back to where you need to be. The teams, I can tell you, the teams are the Burning Reds.
I've had a case of those before.
They're a. This is straight out of the manual. They're a team full of gutsy hitters, a hitting squad with surprising accuracy and machine gun like percentages. Then there's the real runners, who are
they really run.
They're yeah. The team will run circles around opponents.
They really run.
There's the El Condors, a defensive team with an iron curtain constructed of fielders with tough shoulders and airtight defenses. And there's the Thunderbolts, the Grooves, the Lumineers, the Hopper Sieves, Flamingos, Jackals, Cyclopsises, Oxhorns, and Star Rays.
Star Rays.
And, like, if you do beat certain teams, or beat so many in a row, there's four teams that are secret teams that appear that have super abilities. And I have not made it to any of those at all. Because I'm not very good at this game. Like,
that's cool.
It's not that hard, but it's fun. Arcadey Baseball. You can check it out. Neo Geo Pocket Color. If you can find a console, if you can actually find a Neo Geo Pocket, you can get games pretty reasonable. There's some good shit. They got Metal Slug out for it.
Oh, sweet. That'd be worth it alone.
There's Metal Slug 1, 2, and a 3, I think, pocket missions. There's some King of Fighters. There's a SNK versus Capcom card battle came out on it. That's kind of cool. Some random stuff, but check it out. Baseball Stars, Neo Geo Pocket Color. That's what should be in your hands this week.
It makes me think... That was a huge missed opportunity with Futurama, the Barnes Ball. There should have been a Barnes Ball baseball game.
That would have been great.
That would have been fucking amazing.
Maybe we should make that.
Maybe we should. I'll program it and hassle Madison Rights.
A team full of benders.
I'll go to the Bureau of Bureaucracy and see if I can get the rats from them.
The Bureau of Bureaucracy.
You're technically correct. The best kind of correct.
I completely Englished that up and said bureaucracy. Drink tonight, some more box wine.
There's going to be a lot of English in tonight's episode.
Dude, there is a lot of English coming your way.
And box wine.
Can you hear that? It sounds like somebody taking a leak.
Yeah, it does.
This Franzia is taking a leak into my shark cup.
Gotta shake it. Shake it more than twice if you're playing with it.
I was just diddling the shit out of it. So I guess we can go ahead and talk about subject, because I have a feeling we're going to spend a little bit of time on this.
Yeah, let me pull up my lot of notes, because I got a lot. And I didn't even beat the game.
I got quite a bit. I managed to complete the game at 4:30 this afternoon.
Oh, nice. My wife left me a note in my notebook. It says, Brandon Hart's Wieners. Parentheses, all of them.
She's a genius. She speaks the truth.
I love you too, Jamie.
She's like, yeah, and I know you love wieners.
You don't listen to this podcast, so I can say whatever I want about you.
This will be the one podcast she listens to, and she's going to be like...
I explained to her why that one was named the anniversary minivan.
Nice. I wanted to find a picture of Randy Quaid so bad, just like waving to like posting that episode. But anyhow, we're talking about the kind of unique, weird oddity of a game that is Shenmue.
Yes, the game that, I mean, I still respect it, but I used to
You've got some different feelings playing it as an adult.
Yeah, I used to hold this game in high regards, because as a kid, I was like, wow, this game's amazing. And now I've played it, I'm like, I didn't have hardly any fun in this game. What the fuck?
It is, It is rather different. It has
not held up to time at all.
There's still things I really love about
There's some good things.
I don't completely shit on it. And this is an episode we've been planning on doing for a while. So I figure, first off, we'll give you a brief history, because I know a lot of people that don't even know what the fuck Shenmue is.
Yeah.
I actually took my Dreamcast while I was doing research for this episode, playing through the game. I took my Dreamcast up to, Your bag of jalapeno papas has struck the ground. Can you tell me more about the jalapeno poppers?
They're pretty good. They're from Walmart Deli. Walmart Deli. This podcast is brought to you by Walmart
Deli. I wish we had the Shenmue notebook sound, because as soon as you'd be like, they're at Walmart, I'd just do Rio's voice. Walmart? Do the notebook.
Yeah. That's nice.
Is that so? So, you'll understand more of what the hell we're talking about in a minute. Shenmue, though, is a 1999/2000 release for the Sega Dreamcast. Came out in Japan in 99.
Pretty groundbreaking for its time, I'll give it that.
Very groundbreaking for its time. At its time, it was the most expensive game ever created. I think it,
It's empty. This bag is dead to me.
That's no good. The game was actually, it cost between $47 to $70 million to produce and make.
And that didn't get top tier voice actors.
No.
Not close.
The game was produced and directed by Yu Suzuki, who is famous. He's the creator of Hang-On, Outrun, and the Virtual Fighter series.
And he's in one doing three, right?
Indeed, yes.
Okay.
He's done all of them. It was made by Sega AM2, who's also famous for the Virtual Fighter series. It actually started out as a Virtual Fighter game. It was an RPG set in the Virtual Fighter universe, started out on Saturn. And in late 97, they ported it over to Dreamcast. And the main dude from Virtual Fighter, I can't think of his name, but the main ninja dude that kind of looks like Ryo.
Yeah.
He carried over to Dreamcast, but eventually they dropped all the Virtual Fighter ties completely, you know, and made it original.
The whole game seems like it's basically an ode to, like, 80s martial arts movies, like martial art hero movies. Like,
it's your typical the damsel story.
The father dies, the damsel gets kidnapped, go get shit done.
Yeah, it's a very, very much a throwback to that. The music in the game is very 80s centric, you know. It puts you there.
And for the most part, the music was good. You showed me one thing that I didn't get to.
That was bad, awful. But the music's great in the game.
Even though this game made me realize how the sound quality on the Dreamcast ain't that great, but, you know, it's old. It's the Dreamcast.
Indeed. You said it didn't hold up. That's one thing, graphic-wise, I want to disagree with a little bit. Just simply for graphics from 1999, still badass today.
I'll agree with that. And for the type of graphics it was going for, it wasn't going for really stylized graphics. It was going for more realistic.
Realism.
And they still don't look bad. The faces during the dialogue were kind of freaky.
Yeah.
Everyone looked at you just all wide-eyed like they're about to rip your guts out.
Their fucking teeth. So I've seen a couple of glitches in the game where they're supposed to do something else, and they just stay, with that fucking wide-eyed...
Yeah.
Hello, y'all!
I remember I talked to this guy in the casino. He was, gambling, and I walked up to him and pressed A.
I just hit the jackpot. That's
yes. I went and pressed A, and I'm like, hey. And he says, what was it? He says, this is my favorite part. leave me alone. I just hit the jackpot. And he just has his, the whole time he's just smiling ear to ear, looking at you, not blinking, this wide ass eye, like he's about to just fucking dismember you.
It's a very odd and unique game. Pretty much the basic premises of the game, or premise of the game, is you're Ryo Hazuki.
And it's, everyone pronounces it slightly different in the game.
It's spelled R-Y-O. And Ryo, but a lot of people call it Dio.
Or Ru. Ru. Yeah.
It's Japanese dialect, I guess, but...
I think it's shitty voice acting.
Yeah. Hello, Dio. The voice acting is fucking atrocious in this game.
And it's bar none some of the worst.
It is terrible.
I mean, considering the amount of voice acting that went into it, I guess they couldn't pay good voice actors, but... It's awful.
The premise, though, is you come home one day and your father is in his dojo at your residence, cornered by a man named Lan D, who's pretty much a prissy-ass ninja master wearing a jade-colored robe.
Yeah, he was a wannabe Lopan almost, except he was all, like, traditional Chinesey looking.
Have you ever seen, since we're talking about martial arts, have you ever seen the old movie Master of the Flying Guillotine?
Yes.
He kind of looks like the master from that.
Yeah.
The Master of the Flying Guillotine, I guess. But pretty much, he's looking for a dragon mirror, and he kills Ryo's father and takes it. After his father tells him where it's at. He kicks Ryo's ass and then leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, who wouldn't be pissed off? See your dad get murdered. That'd be,
yeah.
You know, you'd still be kind of like, he gets that vengeance.
And during that scene, it was the classic, stand up and I'll let you die like a warrior. And he just kills them all. He helplessly tries to attack them.
Yeah, it's all about honor in Japan.
In fact, you could even make the argument that if Ryu wouldn't have showed up, his father might have lived.
Yeah.
Just because the way it happened, he ended up bitching out because he didn't want Ryu to die. But, yeah, you start off the game trying to figure out who Lan D is and how to get to him for your vengeance.
And here's where you get to the real meat of the video game.
Yes.
You walk around and fucking talk to people.
And they tell you to eat a dick.
Yes. One thing that we're gonna give you pretty in-depth shit here. So one thing this game helps you realize is people in 1980s Japan are fucking assholes.
They are.
They're all perpetual assholes for the most part.
And I understand.
Not probably in real life, but yes, in the video game world, these people suck. Like.
I understand why, because they couldn't possibly voice that much dialogue for everyone to want to talk to you, but still, everyone's like, I'm busy, leave me alone.
Yeah, could you please try again later? There's something I have to do. I like some of the harsher ones you get later, like when you actually make your way into Buita, or what, Dabuita, I think.
Yeah, Dabuita.
When you finally make your way in there, those bikers... You go into URK and there's some bikers like playing a game. You go to talk to one of them. He goes, "What?" You ask him. He's like, "Just who in the hell you think you are? You want your ass kicked?"
Yeah,
this sounds almost identical.
I've had those guys like tell me to fuck right off several times. Then
I don't want
to
hear your bullshit.
And then later on, like, I beat up some guys in the scene and then I talk to them again. And they're like, "You look like a tough guy that can handle yourself. Why don't you join our gang?" And like. Yeah, okay. Then it's like, go to the tattoo parlor and get a tattoo of us. And then, like, okay. And then you never do.
Yeah. I like how, like, people offer you shit. Like, Tom is
the hot dog man.
He's always offering you hot dogs. He's
the, like, Jamaican hot dog Chinese guy.
No, maybe some other time.
He wasn't Chinese. He's Japanese, trying to be a Jamaican selling hot dogs.
I just wonder if he's not supposed to be an American, though.
Because he's wearing sunglasses.
At the end of the game, I don't know if I should get ahead of myself, but at the end of the game, he teaches you a move and tells Ryo he's going back to America.
Huh. Okay.
So that's kind of why I wondered.
He's constantly dancing. He's the dancing hot dog man. with dreadlocks.
One of the cool things, Shenmue was the game that made me want the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure...
It was a system seller, for sure.
I'm pretty sure, like, you were at my house the night... We watched a video of Shenmue at my house.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much what was like, that makes me... Because they touted it as, like, a suburban Japanese simulator.
Did we watch that on my Dreamcast? Because I remember that was one of the cool things, is you could dial up on the Dreamcast and watch demos.
I think we did.
Yeah.
That is quite a possibility. You know, they touted the game, though, as like a suburban Japanese simulator.
Yeah.
And I was just all like, oh, I probably won't ever go to Japan, so fuck yeah. And it blew my mind as a fucking, 15-year-old dude.
Yeah. It was very,
ambitious.
Ambitious, that's the word I'm looking for. It was very ambitious for its time. One thing I want to say that I didn't mind then, but I mind now as a person who's played modern consoles, this game needed two joysticks so bad. You walked around with nothing but the D-pad, and it was miserable.
Control is very awkward in this game.
Yes, it is. Especially when you get into the combat. That's why I practice nothing but the spinning kick move, so it didn't matter which way I'm facing, I'm still hitting people with my feet.
That's another thing. This game is broken up into several different playstyle segments, I guess. You have your basic shit, which is running around talking to people, finding out information, finding clues to who to go talk to next.
That's something else. For the first hour of the game, I didn't know there was a run button. I walked everywhere. It was miserable.
Oh, dude, there are no words I can say. I'm just, like, sitting here trying to imagine walking everywhere in Shenmue, and I'm like, I would kill myself.
I almost did. I was on Amazon. I had that Slothsburg in my cart.
In Nirvana's greatest hits. Anyways, dude, that's painful. But that part, you walk around, find out clues, go talk to people. There's a QTE, quick time events section, where a button flashes on the screen. You gotta press the button very fast. And then there's real time combat, which is pretty much
3D brawler.
Yeah. 3D beat 'em up. Very Tekken Virtual Fighter ish.
Yeah.
Of course. But
does it work well controlling a 3D environment with a D-pad?
It's very hard.
Yeah.
There is a motorcycle riding segment toward the end.
I never got to that. I did play the Hang-On game, but...
That's one cool thing that I really like.
Yeah, that's...
A lot of my favorite part of this game comes from just simply buying capsule toys, buying bags of chips to get the cool capsule toys in the store,
mm-hmm.
and playing arcade games at U Arcade.
Yeah.
Or U Game, whatever it's called.
I played the fuck out of that boxing game. I think I got up to like 500,000 or something on that.
Oh, nice. I am pretty badass at darts. I got on darts, I hit like 4 bullseyes in a row.
Nice.
At one point, it's like, you know, you can figure out exactly where his hand needs to be when you tap the button.
Yeah.
Darts is really fun. It's a random ass game.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's I also had a few arcade classics in the arcade.
Space Harrier.
Space Harrier.
One of my
great
favorites.
And just Hang On. And was there anything else?
That's it.
I was like,
Shenmue 2, you can play those two and Afterburner. I think. I thought that was so cool as shit, though. Like,
they even have a slot machine.
Yes, the slot house.
And it sucks.
You can't redeem your tokens for anything.
No.
You win, like, little capsule toys if you hit jackpots and shit, but I mean...
You gotta waste thousands of yen to do so.
That's one thing that really compelled me as a kid, was the sheer amount of shit to do, and now that I'm an adult, I'm just like, there's not really anything.
It made me realize how poor Ryu was. Because his daily allowance that he got, which I guess was a stipend set up by his father or whatever, he gets 500 yen a day. Capsule toy, 100 yen. So he's basically got a dollar a day. You think about it, you know.
Yeah.
Because you can go down to the store, 25 cents, get something similar. Probably 50 cents these days. So he might got $2. I don't know.
Each of the arcade games are 100 yen a piece of play.
So he did not get a lot of money. And was there ever any way to really earn money in the game? There's those few, a few windfalls to earn your ticket, but
yeah, you have to. That's one thing I want to get to when we get toward the end.
Okay, we'll
that is it. A big part of Disc 3.
Yeah, I got to Disc 3 as soon as I came over here. So.
Stop playing it.
I do want to beta. I come this far.
It's. We'll get to it. That's one of my only gripes about it. I do. One thing about it, too, is it uses a. Shit, I had it wrote down. Yeah, it uses like a magic weather and time control system. And the weather is based on actual records from that area in the 80s Japan.
Yeah.
Like it'll be sunny one day, raining the next, snowy one day.
Yeah.
Time plays a big
and it was
big factor.
Did we mention it's 1986 Japan?
We just said 80s.
It's 86, really. End of 86. One thing that was impressive was how lively the town is. There's people everywhere doing shit.
Every NPC has their daily routines. They do.
Yeah. And sometimes, depending on who you talk to and things you do, it'll trigger certain events. You can play through the game 2 or 3 times and get different events every time. One of the first events that always happens is the fucking kitten.
Yes, you have to feed a little, help a little girl feed a kitten. What'd you feed it? I ended up going down to the store and buy dried fish, I think, and bring them back.
Did you go up on the steps of the shrine? Any? There's food just laying up there.
No.
There's like tofu and dried fish, I think, and you can just grab it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I got the dried fish because I'm like, I wouldn't feed a human being fucking dried tofu. Much less an innocent little kitty cat.
What am I, a pussy vegan? Give that thing some meat.
Oh, you just started a war.
I don't care. Fuck vegans. I'll eat them.
They're frail.
I eat things that eat grass. but yeah, she talks about how its mommy got ran over and
by a black car.
Yep, that happened.
You're researching.
Yep. And it almost ran over this old man, which she did not mention that it was an old man. And she just said it's some guy's name, and you had to figure out who the fuck it was that it almost ran over. I was thinking it was another kid she was playing with the whole time. Then I randomly talked with this old guy. I was like, yeah, that car almost ran me over. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's one thing, like being American, like they start throwing out like Japanese names at you, and dude. Yes. It's fucking impossible.
Not only
that,
but most
shit.
Of the signs in the game are in Japanese, and you have to use the first person perspective button to look at them and get subtitles.
Which is usually done by tapping the right trigger,
yes,
and looking, which yep. can be a pain in the ass.
And that's the only way you can interact with a lot of objects too. I didn't know that I could rifle through all these shelves and stuff until a good ways into the game.
Shops open at a certain time. They yep. close at a certain time. People are doing different shit at all times of day.
Yeah. You know, like the bars and stuff open at night like you'd expect. And
time is one thing in this game that is really fucking frustrating.
Yes, because sometimes you don't have enough time in a day, and other times you got way too much fucking time in the day.
And there's
no
time
way.
To pass.
Right.
Like, it's like real life. You gotta, like, what I would do if I'm needing to pass time in Dewita, I would go into the arcade and just play games. Because it seems like your clock actually moved a little bit faster.
See, I would go to an empty parking lot or a park or whatever. You had to find one that's empty, and I'd practice my moves. And basically what I'd do is I'd look at my phone and shit while I'm just sitting there pounding A or B.
Oh,
or
that
whatever.
Game has Shenmue has a lot of where I've left my shit turned on and got up and went and like cleaned my kitchen or swept or done something and come back and still the right amount of time had not passed yet.
Mentioning training, that was kind of interesting. You said you beat the game with not training at all.
I beat the game without really doing. Now, as far as training, I learned, you know,
learn moves.
Certain people
scrolls.
Teach you moves.
Yeah, scrolls and moves. And
scrolls and people showing you shit. I done that. And never once have I used. You know, I've sparred with.
Fukushan. Yeah.
I've sparred with him a couple times where. You have to go to the dojo for a story element. Never fucking done that. You know where you go to bed at night and you can save sleep.
Well,
training.
See, you do automatically train some. I think by default you train all your moves and you can set like only leg moves or only hand moves or something. So you train every night a little bit just by default. But you can go to a park or something and set them and spam moves. And if you look at your move list, it has a meter. It goes from beginner. Medium and advanced.
I never done any of that.
Yeah, I spent the
and
time.
I beat it.
I spent all my downtime was spent practicing three moves. I had the spinny kick, which I don't know what it was, the basic punch and basic kick. I maxed all those out.
See, Tom taught me a kick where you jump and spin once. It's like forward AA.
The one
you
I
jump and spin one kick, and then you automatically spin another one.
The one I practice is this left trigger A.
See, I don't know that.
I also trained. Some old guy taught me this move. It's you hold forward and press punch and kick at the same time.
Yeah,
and you do
shadow
like,
step.
No, it was double blow, is what it's called. And it doesn't look like a real move at all.
The old man at the harbor?
No. This was back in Dubuita or whatever.
Okay.
He was actually, I might have it written down somewhere here.
That's one cool thing about this game. There's multiple ways of doing shit.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it. I don't know if I wrote it down. But it was a guy who was he's a sparring partner with your father. And he's talking about how that's one thing that the martial arts masters would do is they would teach each other moves from their respective arts.
Maybe I did learn this.
And he teaches you double blow, which does not look like a move at all. It's not a move. I'm going to say it's not a fucking move. You put your legs in like a lunging position. Anyone who knows like fencing or yoga, your legs are in a lunging position. You put one hand out, and then you just draw your other leg forward, and you put your other hand forward. So basically, you're standing.
And it goes boom.
Yes.
When you do it. Okay, I did learn this.
Yeah, you basically put both of your legs together and both of your hands together, palms out, and somehow it's a move. It kicked ass, but I don't understand how it was a move. It was like a cheerleading move at best.
It kicks ass, so I mean that's all.
It knocked the fuck out of people when he landed it.
If you get like, especially when you're hit like fighting multiple people,
yeah,
you can like.
I had like a little cone almost right in front of you. What else? Lots of loading in the game, like almost unnecessary in some parts. Like leaving the dojo and entering the dojo, you just had a little scene where you just stop and then walk in. And I guess I had to do it, but it was just too much. One thing I didn't know till I think I got to disc 2 was you can enable area teleport and teleport from your house to other places.
I still didn't even know that.
Yeah, you can get to where
fuck.
When you walk outside your front door, it gives you an option to go to every area in town. So, there's that. Sakagoika or whatever.
Yamanos, Sakagoya, or Sakagoya.
And Dubuita. You can go to those three.
How do you set that?
You go into your options.
Fuck me. I wish I would have known that. That's played crazy. Through the whole game without knowing that shit.
That should be on by fucking default.
I agree, because that's one of the cons I have to it, is the monotony of running fucking back and forth everywhere.
And even though I got to this 3, I still never learned the whole layout of Dubuita. I just kind of ran around until I found shit.
I finally have figured it. I figured everything out by the end of this 3. And Dubuque is not that bad. The harbor is a bitch to remember.
Yeah, the harbor sucked. Luckily, at least in this two, there wasn't much to do in the harbor. I don't know about three.
Primarily, all of disc three takes place at the harbor.
It sucks. There's all kinds of odd, I don't want to call them side quests, but side objectives. Like, one part in, Sakagaweka or whatever. I'm never going to get that name right. The second area of the game. There's an old lady who's like, can you help me find this house? And you just walk around and
look at the name.
Look at the names and you help her. And, like,
I've done that.
To my knowledge, all of these things might have almost no bearing on the game, like the ending or anything. It's just, I guess, makes you feel better about yourself or worse about yourself, however you want to do it. You tell her to eat a dick and just go away.
You could, I'm pretty sure.
And there's lots of shit like that. And most of the fights, to my knowledge, win or lose, don't really matter. It might take you slightly more time.
The quick time events, if you fail one, you're automatic. It'll start you right back at there.
Yeah.
Now, some of the later on fights are a pain in the dick if you fail. One of the last battles on disc three is a 70-man free battle.
Oh, no.
You fight 70 people, and three of them are sub-bosses, so they're harder than just your average people. And I got all the way to my VMU, or your VMU if you're playing with one, it'll tell you how many you've defeated.
Yeah.
And, like, had 69 defeated and got to the final sub-boss, and he beat me. You start all the way back over, you have to fight all 70 fucking people again.
Rear's house is the most confusing house I've ever set foot in.
Yes.
I thought getting lost in the Nightmare on Elm Street, the Friday the 13th NES game, I got lost in them houses like nothing else. This game tops that.
Dude, it's so hard to figure out whose room's whose. Where everything is in your house.
Yeah. Because half the doors look like walls.
One of the hardest things I had trouble with is when you're looking for a key to the cabinet in the dojo to get the sword out.
Same thing.
Like, yeah, I looked in that drawer several, because I knew to go to his dad's room and look for the key. I looked in that drawer several fucking times before ever thinking about taking the top off that box in there.
Yeah.
Little shit like that, man. And this game's full of that shit. Well, everywhere.
Talking about the bad voice acting and stuff, one thing I really liked, it was so bad, is you start getting clues about the origins of Lan Di, and you're told to go ask about Chinese people. So Ryu literally goes around and he's like, what do you know about Chinese people?
Tell me all you know about Chinese people. That's the same time where you gotta go find the three blades.
Yes.
And the barber,
Trent Taylor, and Cook.
Yeah.
That's what the three blades is basically. It's almost like a union.
I was going to say a union.
Except it wasn't for one company. It was more like craftsman guilds. And it's the three blades for those three professions. And those are people that came over from China to Japan, and you ask them about Chinese people, and you find out about Chinese people, and that leads you to start asking about sailors.
You actually have to go and, like, take Chinese shit to people and get them to read it for you.
Yeah, you get a letter that was meant for your father. And you eventually find, out of all the Chinese people you talk to, only one of them can fucking read Chinese, I guess.
It's written in a strange kanji style. I've never seen these characters
It's written, written in reverse, and she holds it up in the mirror. I'm like, well, these fucks didn't have mirrors. I mean,
no shit. Like, could you not, like, maybe just turn it over and read it backwards and upside down?
Yeah.
I mean, we can do that in the alphabet.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, you learn from an old man that...
sailors.
You need to try sailors. So you go around and... Do you know anything about sailors? I brought in a clip I found on YouTube. I wish I could remember the guy's name, but some guy threw together a clip of these interrogations on YouTube. Here it is.
Sailors? I'll look for some. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Hi. What can I get for you? Do you know of a place where sailors hang out?
Sailors?
I see them at night.
We close at 8, but I often see them from just before that.
I see.
All of the sailors are big, you know. You'll know who they are just by looking.
Where do they hang out?
I would say they hang out at bars, or some places like that.
Thanks. Sawano-san.
Hello there, yo.
I'm trying to locate some sailors.
Sailors? Well, I see them around in the evenings. What do you want with them?
No reason. I just want to talk to them.
I see.
So fucking weird.
I'm sorry, but I only see them sometimes.
I see. Well, see you.
Hi, Dio.
Do you know any places where sailors hang out around here?
Sailors? Yeah, I see them at night.
At night?
They're really big, bad dudes, you know? I think they drink a lot of booze at the bars or someplace.
Bars.
So stereotypical. Yep.
You can see them hanging around the motorcycle shop.
Good point.
Good point.
Nozomi.
Ryo.
You got a minute? Nozomi, do you know of any shops where sailors might go?
Well, they sure don't come in here. I'd guess that they probably hang out in bars.
Yeah, probably. Hey, sorry to bother you at work.
It's no bother. But Ryo.
Hmm?
Don't do anything crazy.
I won't. See ya.
Dude. Okay. That's something I want to point out. Nozomi wants to fuck Ryo's brains out.
And he is such a cock to her.
He is oblivious and a fucking butthole to her. Oh, thank you. She can be like, Ryo, I want to suck your cock. And he's like, try again some other time. Thanks anyways. You fuck!
My pussy's gushing like a cow pissing on a flat rock, Ryo.
Yeah. He's just like, is that so?
I remember one part where she's talking about how they're getting ready for college. She's like, we're going to the exams. You should come along, Ryo. And he's like, I see. See you later, Nozomi.
He does that a lot. Later, there's a... Did you get to the photograph part on this three?
I don't think so.
She, you know, her father lives in Canada, and she tells Ryo that she's going back to Canada. And she's like, I want a picture of us. And like, one picture is him just, Ryo kind of like just looking at her real weird. Another picture, he's just real stern-faced and shit. And it makes you pick one of the two pictures. And he's like, I like this one. She's like, Ryo, we're both leaving Japan. I'm going to miss you. And he's like, it'll be okay. Goodbye. I'm just like, you cold motherfucker. Like, she wants him so bad, and he's just so...
He blows her off constantly.
I know, and I'm just like, you better pay that little lady some attention. You better be a goddess appreciator, fool.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Hong Kong, get beat to fucking death, and you ain't even going to have nothing to work the edge off before you get there.
I know later in the game, she buys some flowers to put on her father's altar, and Fuku-san's like, Nozomi brought some flowers by. You should go thank her. And I go talk to her, and he's like, did you see this little scraggly bald guy? She's like,
Gollum?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He looks like Gollum, but...
Dude, Gollum is the final fight in the game.
He was fucking tough in the arcade.
He is hard, but when we get to the end, I'll tell you how I whooped his ass with no training.
But anyway... Yeah, instead of going to thank her, he's like, did you see that bald guy? And she's like, oh, he ran away. He's like, thanks, and runs off.
No, thank you for putting fucking flowers on my murdered father's grave.
Thank you for being the only person to mourn my father's death. Like,
I am busy trying to find out information. See you.
Oh, shit.
The game's it's fun, but... Being a little older now, the passage of time and shit, like, when I was a kid, or being a kid, or when I was a teenager playing this game, I didn't have a fucking job. I didn't have all that bullshit. So I had time to spare. And time is something you have to have to spare in this fucking game.
Yeah.
That is not something I have anymore. And I cannot tell you how many times it'll aggravate you. Like, the game, I guess we can go ahead and start talking about the end, Disc 3. Disc 3, well, I'm going to use this in reference for time. There'll be a certain point where you have the, you can ride the bus home, right, from the harbor.
Yeah.
Well, there will literally be no other person you can talk to that day to progress the story. And it'd be like 7 o'clock. You go to get a bus, and Rio be like, I still got plenty of time to ask around. Even though there's nothing literally more you can do. So you have to fucking run around in circles till like 9 o'clock. I spend a lot of my time at the harbor after work playing fucking darts till 9 o'clock. Just so I could get on the bus and go home and progress the storyline.
One thing I wanted to talk about was, and maybe you probably know more since you actually beat it, about the fucking mirrors. It almost reminded me of Sergeant Kabuki Man, and that if Londi got the Phoenix Mirror and the Dragon Mirror, he could open the gates to heaven and hell and whatever.
That was the purpose of the mirrors, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To open
Yeah, the gates to heaven and hell, and basically end Earth or whatever, rule Earth, some generic shit like that. Did that ever turn out to, like, be a sham? So I figured it just ended up being some, like, triad, like, we're going to sell them for millions of dollars.
No, they haven't. It doesn't tell you. That's one thing, the ending of this game is a complete fucking cliffhanger.
I figured it was.
110%. Like, the only thing that even really hints at that, Not even it, you know, outright saying it, but Master Chen, did you meet him?
Yeah.
Master Chen, their business, him and his son's business, is they are like a rare exporter of rare goods and treasures and shit. And that's how he knew so much about the Phoenix Mirror. But it doesn't ever say if they're actual, like, mystical fucking tools or, you know, whatever. It doesn't say shit.
This is, yeah, it's the Dragon Mirror and the Phoenix Mirror. And he stole the Phoenix Mirror or the Dragon Mirror?
He stole the Dragon Mirror, and the Phoenix Mirror is the one that you get basement. From the antique.
No, you don't
Yeah, you get it in your basement.
Yeah.
We're in the wall.
Get a sword hilt and a sword to open the secret passageway.
Which is one of the most frustrating moments in the game, in my opinion.
Really? What part do you have trouble with?
Lighting the fucking candles, right?
Oh, I just brought a light bulb down there.
Yeah. That's the last fucking thing I did. I lit all the candles, went and got all the candles out of my fucking altar, and refilled them and lit them, and I knew the fucking hole in the wall was there, but I'm just like, I can't remember how to make him pick that fucking axe up and knock a hole in that. And then finally I just went and bought a goddamn light bulb. And voila. It fucking, oh, the color of the wall is a different color than the other wall.
Bar, there's scrapes on this floor.
Yeah.
Did someone move this shelf?
Keen work there, Sherlock fucking Holmes.
But yeah, the mirrors open the gates of hell, and it brings a monster called Chi Yu to devour Earth. That's the legend of the mirrors.
Also known as Gojira.
And that's why the organization Landy leads is Chi Yu Min. So, and they also...
Which is the main reason also Gollum cost you the whole game, is because he feels that beating your ass will get him in good with the Chi Yu Min.
Yep. Gollum is his character named Chai. He walks around... He sounds like Gollum. He's toothless and bald like Gollum. He has the stature.
He's a meth head.
He has the stature of Gollum. Like, he's always crouched over and kind of walks on all fours.
Isn't it ironic? Didn't Lord of the Rings come out in 99? No, that was later, wasn't it?
Yeah, a little
2000.
Later. So, a little after the first Matrix. I remember that much. So,
sorry.
But yeah, that's the first thing I thought is Gollum. He talks like him, has the stature.
I've wrote him down in all my notes as Gollum.
He tries to steal the mirror, and it's almost like Gollum going after the ring. Like, my precious.
He eats your fucking ticket for fuck's sake.
Yeah, so you get a boat ride ticket to go to Hong Kong, and he eats your fucking ticket. And then you got to fight him in the arcade, and oh my god, that's the first fight that gave me trouble. I was, at that point, I had three of my moves maxed out, and it was fucking tough.
Did you beat him in the arcade?
Yeah.
Okay, I did not. Okay. I got defeated by him in the arcade, and he just simply, like, run out on me. He didn't tell me shit.
Huh.
That's so crazy to me. That's one thing I do still like about this game is, like, the multiple
paths. I mean, he still ran off. Yeah, I didn't, like, kill him or anything.
Oh, well, I didn't figure that. Yeah. I mean, you... Spoiler alert, you know, you find him at the end, but...
Yeah.
I lost to him in the arcade. He beat my monkey
ass. I imagine it would be a lot easier in a bigger area. There's no room in the arcade. It's fucking tiny.
What I was going to say earlier, and you saying that, I might as well go ahead. That's the only reason I beat him at the end, is because I constantly use that shadow step where you can back up.
Yeah, it's like a dodge.
I dodged him the entire time and would let my health, like, fully charge back up.
Yeah, I could see that.
And just do a few attacks and then just keep backing up. That's all I did.
I just alternated. I pretty much did nothing but kicks. The main thing that sucked is my kicks were mostly high kicks. And he was short, and he's always crouching.
He dodges the shit out of you,
but my kicks are powerful enough that for the he got me down to like what two orbs mm-hmm. of health, so I almost died, but I got him. Easily the toughest fight so far. Like I'm up the floor with everybody.
Oh, he's still him. Even for an emboss, even though I did nothing but dodge, he's still tough as shit. Like you've got there's a move you learn toward the end of the game called. Swan dodge. Anyways, like you have to use that fucking attack to pretty much beat his ass.
It kind of sucks that such a weaselly asshole is the end boss.
Yeah, like a meth head.
Yeah. Congratulations, Ryu. You've been training your whole life to defeat the meth head.
He's all hooked up on amphetamines. You better bring your skills today. Yo, don't go fucking with him. You're liable to get hurt, y'all.
Tell me what you know about meth heads. Where do meth heads hang out?
I don't really know. I heard them. They hang out in front of the harbor cafeteria, Ma.
Oh, shit.
We should have been voice actors for this game.
We could have done a better job than half of it. Or all of it. I don't know.
There's, I really like the quick time events in the game.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. I like the chase quick time events a lot.
Yes, you got to get a ticket to go to Hong Kong because you're in Japan.
Oh, and which brings me to one thing I have wrote down. That girl is at Asia Travel Company is
a cunt.
Fucking cunt, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, ladies, but I know there's so many of you listening right now, but... Dude, that girl's a cunt. She's beyond the word bitch.
But yeah, the story Fuck progresses. Her. You find out you basically you got to go to Hong Kong. So you start exploring options. You go to there's two travel agencies in town. There's the Global Travel,
Global Travel, which is the nice one.
Yeah, then there's Travel Asia or something like that.
Yeah,
and they're the shady ones. Everyone tells you
Asia Travel Company and Global Travel Company.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, Asia Travel shady. I wouldn't do business there.
Nozomi even tells you, I hear they screw their customers over.
Yeah. So you go to Global first because you're like, oh, they're the reputable ones. And they're like, we only sell plane tickets. And then it costs like 200,000 yen, which I guess.
The girl was like, 200,000 yen? I get 500 a day.
Yeah. I wonder if you could just not do shit long enough to save that money up and get a plane ride. Probably not.
I do know if you do not do anything and reach, I think it's March 26th, it gives you a bad ending.
Really?
Yes. It's just kind of like, everybody's done went to Hong Kong. You've sown your ass. Go on.
They done pillaged and raped Nozomi.
Yeah. Nozomi's dead. Akasa-san's dead. Everybody you know is dead.
Avenge them all next game.
You're going to go to sleep tonight and get raped.
But yeah, so you can't do the plane ride. Too expensive. You go to Travel Asia, Asia Travel, whatever, and there's this classic don't give a fuck bimbo secretary working. More worried about her hair. And she's like,
doing her nails when you walk in, man. What a bitch.
And she's like, she's not paying attention to you at all. And she finally gives you finally pay her, and she's like, yeah, come back in 3 hours and I'll have your ticket ready. And then I had to skip a day because the way the time worked out, they closed by that time. I don't know. If you go back 3 hours, is the owner there?
Yeah.
Okay.
The little dude. Yeah. The Weasley fucker. Yeah.
Yeah, he tries to fuck you. He's like, what ticket? I don't know anything about that.
And then, I'm already paid.
Yeah. And so two of us.
It's a boat ticket, by the way. You opt for the boat ticket.
Which is still like $70,000 or some shit. Two of his flunkies like try to beat you up, and you whoop their asses and demand the boat ticket. He's like, "Yeah, okay, come back. I'll call you tomorrow." And you know that's not going to end well.
When he calls you the next day, he's like, "I got your ticket. Why don't you come get it?" Kind of like, "Oh, are you set? It's a trap."
Yeah, and it's really fishy because he's like, "Meet me at the arcade." I'm like, "Don't you have a place of business?" Like.
Why am I going there instead of the your travel company?
Then you go to the arcade. Gollum's there. He's got your ticket. He eats it. You beat him up or he beats you up. Then you got to go chase down the shop owner.
I got a wife and kids.
Yeah.
I'm leaving town tomorrow. I've got too many bad debts. Don't kill me.
And it's a hell of a chase scene. There's a lot of... It's like the longest QTE I did. I don't know if there's any longer after that. But there's like a series of eight or so in total. And it's the classic grinding down the street, knocking over all the fruit carts. I think there's like 30 fruit carts in this thing.
Lots of fruit.
No wonder all of China or Japan starving to this day.
They're only eating fruit.
They're all the fruits on this one street, and it's all spilled.
Damn you, y'all.
What do you know about fruit carts?
They're plentiful on this street.
Where do fruit carts hang out?
I can't answer that without sounding politically correct.
Oh, shit. I don't know how much more I have to say. Let me look at my notes here. Oh, yeah, the Inaki gangsters, which is like one of them with the pompadour haircut. And
Goro.
Yeah. And then he
ends up being a valuable ally later on.
Does he?
He does. Goro makes a change for the better.
Huh. They kind of reminded me of Bulk and Skull.
Very. Oh, great reference. Very nice.
They're just. They look like wannabe greasers. And you fight them several different times. And you can mop the floor with them. They're
pusses.
Yeah. And how does he help you later? So I didn't get to that.
Okay, when you get onto disc 3 and start exploring the harbor, the whole disc, you're pretty much trying to find out who the Mad Angels are.
Yeah.
Which is the gang at the harbor.
Yeah, and they're allies with the
Land-D.
Yeah, the Chi Yu Ming gang.
Yeah. Their leader is the guy that is like gave Land-D the tour of where he is and escorted him to the boat and all that bullshit.
I think they were the informants that let Landy know where the mirror was, too.
Yeah. Well, you go to the harbor looking for him. The only way everybody tells you, the only way you're going to find out more is get a job around the harbor. And you can truly see what goes on Tom, which is...
You got to talk about this.
What fucking killed this shit for me. And I'm going to elaborate why. You run into Goro. I'll go ahead and tie this up. You run into Goro, and Goro's like, "Hey, bro." He's like, "Sorry you beat the fuck out of me back there in the Buita, but, you know, I'll get you a job here. I'll pay you back, bro. I know people." And he does. He follows through and he gets you a fucking job.
Hmm.
Okay. Hence, I said he gets you a job. I work manual labor. Work construction. I've worked in a plant before. I've driven a forklift.
I drive one nearly every day, even though that's not my job. I still drive a forklift. I got to move shit around, so.
You know what I'm talking about then. He gets you a job driving a fucking forklift at the harbor. And let me tell you, Brandon, you play about 8 in-day games, or in-game days, excuse me. The wine is getting to me.
You it's play the box effect.
Anyways, you play about 8 in-game day, like 8-hour days, fucking working. You drive a fucking forklift from point A to point B, picking up cargo here and taking it into a warehouse. You do this, and certain events and shit happens while you're doing this. Like fights. And gradually you learn little by little about the Mad Angels working and doing all this shit. Fuck that shit, because it is the only cool thing about this place is you get a goddamn 2-hour lunch. You get
which is like 15 minutes in real time.
Yeah. Like today when I was playing, and it takes like 6 to 7 work days before you progress the storyline to get where you need to be. And it is literally picking up a fucking crate and taking it somewhere else and dropping it off. And the fucking buzzer will go off at noon. He'll be like, lunchtime, eh? And you will sit and eat fucking lunch with the guy next to you and then walk around the harbor and question people for 2 fucking hours. And then your Timex will go off and be like, this late already? And then you'll fucking work for 3 more hours.
Oh, no.
And you have a quota. You have to... There's a quota you meet. It literally... I was so engrossed in Shenmue when I was playing this game, I felt like I had a fucking job driving a forklift at a Japanese harbor. And I was just like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be playing a goddamn video game. I was like, I feel like I'm out. Every time I come back to progress the storyline, I was like, I feel like I'm going to work, turning my drink
glass. I can just imagine you as a teenager playing this game, coming out of your room stressed out, and your dad's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? I'm like, I just put 40 fucking hours in work today. Don't tell me what the fuck's wrong with me.
And my dad's just like, follows probably by kicking my ass.
Do you even know what it's like to work 40 hours in one day?
No. There are 40 hours in one day, dumbass. When the world is shit moving,
my boss is giving me shit. I got a mortgage to pay, and a son is starving. Her food stamps running out.
And I got my son in here bitching about driving a forklift on a video game. Fuck you, son. That's probably what my dad thought. But dude, it's fucking stressful. Because, like, let me take wine for this. I hate drinking wine.
Wine break.
Yeah. But anywho, look, I told Emma, I come home the other day, and Emma's like, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm going to play Shenmue. I'm doing some research for this weekend's episode. I turned Dreamcast on, and I'm like, I've never felt more just like nerve-wracked turning a fucking video game console on. Because I was like, I feel like I'm going to work. And this sucks. This is why I play video games. It's escapism to me. I get to get the fuck away from everything. Not playing Shenmue Disc 3. I'm going to fucking work.
It makes me want to go get a job somewhere as a Lyft driver and then bring my Dreamcast, sit down, and start playing it. what the fuck are you doing? I'm a Lyft driver.
I ain't going to lie, though, dude. I can put that bitch on first-person mode and, I'm talking so out of focus on my microphone. I can put that bitch in first-person mode and drive the shit out of that forklift. Well, I've gotten good at it. And I even found out, if you even honk your horn, it's just like working at Ray Hall or some shit. You honk your horn at the fucking driver in front of you, they just disappear. So you get around. Like, it's so funny. If somebody's coming at you head on and you go to hit them, you hit them and Rio go, ugh! And they'll just, like, back up and disappear. You, like, drive on them, like...
You vaporize them.
Like, fuck it.
Said phasers to vaporize. Like,
I put them coils on them. Like, if real life was only like that.
I remember walking around the harbor, and, like, I turned a corner, and the forklift was there, and it hit me, and it bounced off of me and disappeared.
That's because you're a Hazuki.
Yeah.
You're a bad motherfucker.
But the meth head, fuck your shit up, son.
Isn't that how real life is?
That's another thing. The stealth scene in the harbor on this too. You got to, if you're finding warehouse 8.
Dude, that shit is fucking hard.
Yeah, you end up sneaking into an unauthorized access area. There's a bunch of guards walking around at night with flashlights, and you got to find warehouse 8. And if they see you, they start running.
And you use a flashlight, your yes. fucking self the entire time.
Yep. And they see you, they chase your ass down and kick you out. And I think if they kick you out. Do they ever, like, permanently kick you out where you gotta try again?
No, they don't.
Okay, I assumed it would be like that, but I had to do it 3 times.
It starts you all the way back to where you did.
Yeah, it sucks, because there's a lot of guards running around. There's not many places to hide. It'll give you the option to hide behind the crates and shit, and the guards will just walk by and just look at you and be like, hey, get over here.
It's dangerous here. Leave.
Yeah. You're not authorized to be here.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You have a fucking flashlight.
Turn the shit off, Reed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you want to not give away your secrets to where you're at? Turn your fucking flashlight off. Like, hide in the darkness, you asshole.
They have flashlights. You know where they are. They don't need to know where you are.
Yeah, I've always thought, you got a dojo in your fucking residence. How un-ninja-like is that of you? Yeah. Leave the flashlight on. First rule of ninja, turn off flashlight. We only operate by darkness.
Oh, shit.
It's crazy. I was talking earlier, one of the end things is you have a 70-man free battle, which is fucking hard.
Yeah.
But it
very classic 80s kung fu movie, like...
Dude, it's so funny, though, when you beat all of them and you beat the segment, a little, it comes on your fucking VMU and goes, all defeated, grats. And I was like, thank you, that's the least you could have done after I kicked 70 people's fucking ass, including 3 bosses.
That's rough. I really do want to beat it, even if I have to set through the forklift shit.
You can do it. I've spaced my shit out. And finally today, I sat down this morning, and I didn't think I was getting anywhere. And then it changed a little bit. And I just went with it. And at 4:30 this afternoon, I finally beat that motherfucker. So that just means I'm going to start Shenmue 2. Because I've owned Shenmue 2 for fucking 10 years now, and I've never played it.
I'm going to have to emulate it, because I have no means of playing it legit. But,
I know where you can get a modded Xbox right now.
Nice. We'll talk about that later.
Indeed.
So, walk us through the ending.
The ending, okay. They kidnap Nozomi. You go home from work one day. You get home and what's his grandmother's name?
Inasan.
Inasan.
Or just Ina, but Inasan.
Well, she tells Ryo that Nozomi's mother called. She hasn't come home. And of course she hasn't come home. Nobody's seen her. Ryo gets a call, and it's Gollum telling him pretty much like, the Mad Angels have Nozomi. We're at the harbor. Meet us at Warehouse 17. And this is at 1 in the morning when he calls you. He's pretty much like, you got till 4 a.m. to get here, or we start hurting. We start raping and killing her.
It should be, don't you know I get teleported into my room at 11:30?
Yeah, no shit.
That's what happens in the game if you stay out that late. You teleport to your room.
Well, this is, they give you 4 hours to get there. You take off walking. You don't know what I felt it the first time a couple times. You don't know what the fuck to do. and you're walking through Sakuragawa or whatever, and there's a motorcycle sitting there. And if you look at the motorcycle, there's a fucking intercom box underneath the name. And if you just randomly hit that intercom box, the guy comes out and lends you that motorcycle. It throws you into like a hang-on segment where you got 2 minutes to drive a motorcycle down this crazy-ass curvy road to get to the harbor. And you literally make it within like 4 seconds. You get there, you whoop some ass, save Naomi, and you meet the leader of the Mad Angels, which is this dude named Terry. He's the guy that fucking toured Landy around and carried Landy to the boat. Well, he pretty much tells you if you beat up Master Chen's son, who's the one that's causing... They're doing this whole deal called the Long Zaw. I don't know why it's called that, but it's a deal between the Chiyu men, Mad Angels, and the Chinese cartel that's a part of Land, that Landy represents.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this big deal. He tells you that Master Chen's son's the only one in his way, and if you beat his ass, he'll take you straight to Landy. Ryo's like, well, fine. So this guy he's made acquaintances with, he calls out, and you go into a free combat mode and start fighting him. But while they're fighting, they're talking to each other. And finally, he grabs Ryo, and Ryo's like, look, lose on purpose. If I beat you, this guy's going to take me to Landy. And he's like, that's a bullshit reason, pretty much. So you keep fighting. And he's telling him the whole time, he's like, this Terry guy's going to fucking betray you. He's an asshole. You should know that. And you pretty much fight, and you end up being equal matches and beat each other's asses and are laying there. While you're laying there talking, that Terry guy picks up a lead pipe and goes to smack Master Chen's son in the face, and it goes to a quick time event. Well, Master Chen's son gets up and beats his ass and all that jazz. You take Naomi home, or Nozomi home on a motorcycle, and it plays the worst fucking 80s love song.
I want to hear the rendition that you gave me earlier, because that was great.
It says something about my breath being taken away for our love. Is my breath being taken away for our love. It's obviously a Japanese lady like singing in Japanese in the verse, and then the chorus is in English.
English.
120%. So bad.
I love that though.
Oh yeah, it's so great. But you take her home, all this happens, you come back, and then you're getting ready to go to Hong Kong. And this is after you've beat the 70.
Yeah.
You beat all their asses to get to him, to Terry or whatever. But you're pretty much getting ready to get on the boat and leave, and Master Chen teaches you a new move, which is the swan dive, something like that. He teaches you this move, and you go to get on the boat, and pretty much Gollum appears and knocks a bunch of pipes and shit off and injures Master Chen's son. And Gollum's like, you're not leaving for Hong Kong! You know, all that shit. And you have to fight him. And it goes into... It's a crazy hard fucking free battle. The only way I beat it was shadow stepping, like the dodge maneuver, and just fucking tornado kicking the shit out of him. But you beat him, and
does he die or does he run off?
You beat him, and he lays there, and you think he's dead, and his eyes open, and he jumps at you, and it goes to a quick time event. You hit left and A, and you kick his ass into the water, and he just goes, wah! And sinks down in the water. It doesn't ever show whether he's dead or alive.
But I hope he's dead. Fuck that guy.
Master Chen's son's injured, and he tells him, he's like, he was going to send him with Ryo to begin with. He's like, you can't travel injured. He's like, you're going to have to do this on your own. Ryo walks onto the boat, and like, I guess dozes off, and he has a dream about Nozomi. And Nozomi's like telling him pretty much, we're both leaving Japan. I wish I had more time to talk. Here's an amulet. And she gives him an amulet in his dream, and then he wakes up, and the boat's leaving. And there's this big monologue then. He's like, he's one man on a mission. You know, that kind of shit. He's one man on a mission. Going to a far land off to find his way back to glory. You know, that kind of shit. And it's like scrolling fucking Japanese left to right the entire time it's saying that.
Oh,
it's just a boat leaving. And in the end of it, he's like, and now the saga begins. And that is literally, it's a complete fucking cliffhanger. That is literally the ending of Shenmue.
Awesome. Well, that's Shenmue.
That is Shenmue. It's a unique game. Like,
it is.
It's I don't know if it's 100% fun.
It's not.
Brandon was shit on it a little bit.
I mean,
what did you want to shit on it about?
I didn't have fun in the game, like, at all, really.
It is not as much fun as it was when we were younger.
Playing the arcade games was fun, but I'm like, I could have just booted this up on an emulator.
I think a lot of it is, like, we didn't have that kind of technology when Shenmue came out. And we didn't have games that were as big in scale as they are now compared to that.
It was almost a tech demo for the time. It was
for its time. It's still a fucking masterpiece, in my opinion.
But it doesn't.
But holding up till now,
no,
not so much.
I mean, our listeners know retro games. A lot of them hold up still. You know, you pop in Super Mario World, still holds up. Still a great game. This does not hold up like those old games. But
it doesn't have a lot of replay value other than like trying to, you know, figure out maybe a few side quests and shit you've missed.
Collect all the minifigures.
That's literally about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can respect it for what it was, but it's not that great of a game now.
I'm eager to play Shenmue.
I've read 2 is a huge improvement, so I do want to play it. Especially before 3 comes out. For those who don't know, 3 was kickstarted, so it's going to happen. I think it broke Bloodstained's record for the highest Kickstarter. So,
yeah, we know some pony boys that own Shenmue 3 now.
Yeah. And speaking of Bloodstained, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be having a special guest on. We're going to be talking about Bloodstained, which is a Castlevania. It's made by Iga, the Castlevania guy. And we're going to be talking about some Bloodstained and Castlevania. I'm looking forward to that. I'm like the only retro gamer who hasn't had much experience with the Castlevania, so I got to beef up on that. But
you just need to come over here one night. We'll play some.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm a pretty big Castlevania fan, so I'm excited about that one.
Yep, it's about time we did some Castlevania. It's something we've been liking.
Indeed. So we want to get on to our question of the week.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think to pull that up because I was too busy.
We've been shampooing it up.
Yep.
Shit-mooing it
up. Shit-moo. God, I wish I could make that episode title, but fuck you, iTunes and Apple. Cannot have curse words.
Yeah, we're all eight years old. Everybody that uses it. Give me PC for people now.
You do, because people were all big blubbering vaginas.
Mm-hmm.
That's sexist, Brandon.
They all make that noise.
Yeah. Come on now. Come on now.
Do we have any Google hits this time?
Oh, nothing on Google Plus this time. It was quiet. Well, actually, we had a couple answers. Just people saying what games they were good at. But there's nothing I'm going to take the time to load up because it wasn't anything in depth. If you want your answers read, put a little meat in your answer. I mean, I appreciate you answering it, but if you're just like Super Mario, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to take the time for that. Question?
I had a couple pulled up at some point.
Okay. So our question of the week this week was this one by our founding member, Josh Duncan. Was what game are you best at, and what is your greatest accomplishment in it? We had Josh on Facebook. He said, number one, Super Metroid. He got 100% in under an hour. That's pretty damn impressive.
And I know the cat that said that. That's something he would pull off. So that
and he also,
blows my mind.
He also said Mega Man X beat the game taking no damage. Which That's very impressive.
Yeah.
Lynn Green said, during my many years of gaming, the game I was best at was Halo 2. I was one of the top in my area, at least. I don't know about best achievement, but I got everyone in Halo 3 and Borderlands 2. That includes all the DLC. So he's talking about actual Xbox achievements there. Which, that's a feat, getting all the fucking... I never try to get 100% achievements in them games. Because that's a lot.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. That's meticulous.
Jeffrey Hargrove, Mortal Kombat 9, without question, won 4 tournaments and collected like $300 in money and store credit. So that's pretty cool. Let's see. We had some other ones, if I can find it.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Come on now. Come on now.
We shared this question in several places, so that's why I'm having to look
for it. Oh, yeah, it's fine. I'm just picking at you, man. It's not like if they're listening to us this late on, they got nothing else to do.
Yep.
Fuck them. I mean, not fuck you, but you know what I mean.
Please do. Please do.
Please. So, random note while Brandon's filling this or looking for this. My dad tried to force me to get a job one time in a place I really didn't want to work. Like, really did not want to work there. It was a burger joint. I already had another job, just wasn't getting hours. And I purposely botched my application, so I didn't get a job there. And where it said sex, male or female, I drew my own square and wrote once in the 80s and checked it.
Nice.
Needless to say, they didn't hire me.
Let's see, Nick Cook-Widener, our friend.
Our buddy!
He says, it's my brother's melee. That's exactly what I would have guessed for him. He says, I guess my greatest achievement is I've been playing that game for 10 years plus and still going strong. So, I mean, it's dedication.
That's not bad at all.
Our good buddy, Jason Chandler, says, I will destroy you in Mario Kart, all of them. Right on, man.
I'll take you on.
I've never been the best in Mario Kart. Especially Double Dash.
It depends which Mario Kart is referring to. Mario Kart or Mario Kart 64, I can hold my own on. Double Dash.
Fuck Double Dash.
I love Double Dash, You don't like it?
I just hate the mechanic.
You don't like the Double Dash mechanic?
No, I fucking hate it. I like some of the tracks. I like playing them on the newer Mario Karts where I don't have that bullshit. But fuck the Double Dash mechanic. Fuck that in my ass.
It's kind of like the Marvel versus Capcom mechanic where getting your ass kicked, tap these two buttons in to bring in your other character.
Then one of my friends, Dave Starnes, he says, I'd have to say I'm a god at Killer Instinct. I'd like to see him play Killer Instinct. We need to get together and do that, Dave. That's about it on our answers. We got to come up with a new question of the week.
I thought about something, but...
Do you got it in mind? Because I just thought of something, too.
What's yours?
What relates to tonight's episode. What game did you love as a kid that you realize sucks ass now as an adult?
Yes, I'm down for that.
You know, we got to answer our own question of the week, too, from this last one. So we didn't... let me write this down real quick. You can go ahead and talk about what game you're best at and you're... Of course, I think I know.
Do you think I'm going to go old school in this one?
Probably.
Super Mario Speedrunning?
Yeah.
I think I can hold my own on that one. I practiced for years on Speedrunning Mario. I hate admitting this because it's going to be out there in the internet sphere forever. But Super Mario Brothers, the original... I've practiced many long times on using the warp, you know, speedrun method.
Yeah.
Warping from 1-2 to 4-1, 4-2 to 8-1.
Yep.
Running through. I've done that. My proudest moment for that, God, I hate admitting this because it's made me sound like a loser. Anyhow... When I was about 20 years old, I ate a bunch of mushrooms, and I was tripping balls, and I beat that game fucking flawlessly.
Nice.
In the middle of a mushroom trip, without dying once. And Hell, I may have the world record that night. I don't fucking know, but I kicked some ass. And
turns out it was Space Invaders the whole time.
Exactly. I was actually playing Donkey Kong, and I was face down, crying in my puke. But in all actuality, though, I can speed run the fuck out of Mario.
I've said you.
And I'm proud that you can back me up on that. That I guess that's definitely my game. I mean, it's cliche what it is, but I've learned that shit pretty well. I can do them pop jumps like a motherfucker over them piranha plants. So, that's.
I don't have a game that I'm currently really great at because I just don't play like I used to. The game
Earthbound is what you make me think of. Any RPG that you play is what makes me think of you as a gamer. Because I haven't met a finer RPG player in my life.
Well, thank you.
Honestly, I haven't.
I do enjoy RPGs a lot, and, you know, I do pretty good at them. But I think the best I've ever been
at... Pretty good, my dick.
Is your dick pretty good?
Oh, you know it, baby.
I'll have to try it later. The game I'd say I've ever been best at, though, I think at my top, I was probably my best at the original Unreal Tournament, and...
You're a fucking beast. I had it on Xbox. I mean, you played it.
Yeah.
And, fuck that.
I don't think I've ever had, like, a really great achievement. I'd play it online back in the day on my PC, and I would... Every time, you know, be MVP in the matches and stuff, or top score, is I got to where I could just run around with the sniper rifle and no-scope everyone, and that game is fucking quick. It's not like Call of Duty and stuff, where you run realistically. It's fast. So, it was a lot more difficult running around and just, you know, turning around and no-scoping someone in the head. So, that's the game I was at my top at. Now I would get my ass stomped in that game, but for a while there, I was really good at it because I did nothing but play it.
I heard a little bit of ramblings that they were talking about making a new one.
I hope they make a good new one because the last couple.
The first Unreal Tournament was the only one I played. Yeah,
they need to. Return
I had it on PC, and
they need to return to their roots very much. At Game Fest, I'm working on getting us a big Quake LAN party set up for just the tournaments all day on that.
I'm not going to fucking work at all that day. I'm going to play Quake.
Hell yeah.
Fuck.
I want at least like 8 to 10 PCs set up to play. I'll have one PC do nothing but being a server that just runs all day. So it'll be all day tournaments on that, or all day gaming on that. And then we'll have some actual tournaments on it too.
That's awesome.
I'm really looking forward to that.
We're officially plugging that shit now. We don't have a date set in stone yet, but Game Fest is 16 is it's going to happen.
But again, our question for next week is, what game did you love as a kid?
But loathe as an adult.
Yeah, you realize it sucks as an adult. Just like how we did with Shenmue here. And, you know, I think I'm going to find out when I finally grab my copy of Fester's Quest. I love that game as a kid. I haven't played it as an adult yet. I kind of don't want to ruin that for myself, but...
You're going to fuck yourself up.
I am.
That game is a piece of
turd. But hey, you know, I love Yo-Noid as a kid. I love Yo-Noid now.
Yeah, I'll give you credit. I still like Yo-Noid. I can't bitch about it.
We got some calls.
Do we? Yeah. We actually have fucking calls for once.
Yep. For any of y'all who want to call, give us questions, comments, whatever. Answer the question of the week. 682-777 good.
You gonna play that first?
Yep.
The first sound clip.
682-777
Yeah. Better call us.
You know, another aside, totally forgot to mention I'm not doing Hot and Steamy tonight. Didn't have time, and we had enough shit to fill. So, Shenmue was my gaming life this week. But, yeah. We got a call from of Zangief. He left us one.
Holy shit, it's been forever.
Yeah, I know, and he's not happy. I know we got new listeners. We made a deal with Zangief to answer your questions. For a while, it was good. You gave us questions, he answered them, we gave him vodka. This has not happened in a while.
We haven't given him any vodka.
No. And now he is not too happy, and there are bad things in store for us, I'm thinking. So please give us questions. Call him in, write him in, email him. Please.
Help us.
Oh, hey guys, this is Zangief. Maybe you have forgotten I'm real. I just want to tell you that I have struck deal with Putin, and all of Russia goes to Zangief Day Spa. So I've raised almost $11 to come and destroy you. I will be by, what is today? Bubbles and I have something planned for Valentine's Day. But after that, I will probably be by to crush you. Cower in fear. Okay, bye.
Oh, shit.
We're doomed.
Yeah, give us questions for Zangief. There's nothing too personal you can ask.
This guy wrestles fucking bears. He's hanging out with that green fuck Blanca that you call us every once in a while. He can handle your ass. He can handle your questions.
Yep. And we got another call from my buddy Steve Steverson.
Oh, shit. Oh, Steve.
Hey, this is Steve Steverson, local Pokemon Grand Champion of the Universe. And I just wanted to say, fuck you guys. Hold on, I'm dying. Anyway, I just want to say fuck you guys for making fun of me for buying Bayonetta. I will crash the Pokemon battle any day. Me and my team with 6 Magikarp will fuck you guys up. Steve Stevenson.
I forgot about that. We said fuck you for driving up the price of Bayonetta.
He didn't forget it. At all.
Yeah, the number is 682-777 good. We'd like to hear from you. You can call anonymously, whatever you want to do.
You can tell us we're awesome. You can tell us how bad we fucking suck.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yep.
We'll have a rebuttal for you either way.
We just want to hear from you.
Indeed. You can find us always on goodoldgamers.com.
Yep.
iTunes, Good Old Gamers Podcast, Stitcher, Good Old Gamers Podcast, fucking YouTube. Good Old Gamers Podcast. What else?
The Facebooks, Good Old Gamers Podcast, Twitter at Good Old Gamers, Google Plus, Good Old Gamers Podcast.
iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Any reviews we can get always helps. Subscriptions on YouTube or whatever, however you listen to us, there's always something similar. Reviews, subscriptions, whatever.
We got more info on Game Fest coming soon.
Yeah, there's a little...
Trying to lock in a date.
I made a little blurb on the website about it, so you'll be seeing more updates for that on there. You can email us if you're no vendor or are a vendor who wants a booth. Email us podcast@goodoldgamers.com. There's only so many of those that we're going to have. We can talk to you and lock in something for you.
If you got an arcade cabinet or know somebody who would like to bring an arcade cabinet, let us know.
Yeah.
We're going to have certain perk packages, for people to bring
and
stuff.
Sometime in the next few months, we're going to come up with a list of consoles that we need. Because I don't see us getting our hands on a Jaguar anytime soon.
I may have a Jag. May have us one unlocked, possibly.
There's going to be some that we need, and we may want some multiples of some.
TurboGrafx CD. If anybody listens
to
that.
I'm really tempted to get me a Japanese TurboGrafx or PC Engine.
If you do, I'm going to break in your fucking house and steal it.
Well, I mean, the Japanese one is cheaper, to my knowledge. So.
It is. All you just need is an adapter. The adapter card.
Yeah.
That's it. But the adapter cards are
about $80 or so.
Yeah, they're about $80 to $100, which still... Oh, that Japanese Turbo Duo, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I think Lyle just nutted.
Dude, I did. Oh,
he's a new man.
Scorched my shorts, son. dude, that's what I want.
You got some old TVs laying around? Give them to us. We still
need my basement and the Blair Witch down there can protect them.
Yeah, we need TVs. We're going to need tournament setups, mainly for Smash Brothers. on the Wii U.
If you got some nice, you got a nice LED, LCD TV, bring it. We'll let you in or something. We'll figure something out for you.
Pretty much. I mean, there's going to be a limited number of slots for this available, but like, if you want in Smash Brothers Tournament for free, bring you a Wii U and a TV for it, you're in. You get entry and tournament entry for free for that. I'm totally cool with that because that's a lot of money off our end. So far we've got, what, 4 setups for that? We probably need at least 8 to 10.
Yeah.
So,
we're going to try to have a tournament list definitely soon, too, like what games we'll actually be having.
Yeah, there's a few 100%, like we said, Smash Brothers. I think that's going to be our main event.
Are we going to try to do Smash 4 this year?
Yeah, the new one, because way more people want to do that.
Yeah, we had way more interest in the new one than Melee.
I mean, I know the hardcore Smash crowd is still all about Melee, but most people aren't like that. And, I mean, we still got to set that schedule, but I really want to do a free kid Smash tournament. Just because I hate seeing these kids go up against these pro adults.
Yeah, that's one thing we kind of had at the last one, is, like, some of the kids get entered in against these people that are our age.
Now, some of these kids can throw down and beat average adults, but, I mean, it's still
not all
adults versus children.
Oh, yeah.
So, I will try to work that in there. Not 100% that we can, but we're going to try to do that. We'll roll out more info as we get info.
Yeah. It's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
So you'll know as we know.
Yep.
But as always, from us to you, we'll be seeing you next week for a new episode of some sort. And, we need to phrase this in the way that Shenmue would. What do you know about life, Brandon?
Game over, man?
Game over.
Sailors? I'll look for some. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Hi. What can I get for you? Do you know of a place where sailors hang out?
Sailors? I see them at night. We close at 8:00.